Okay. We're on page, on the bottom of the right-hand column of Kuf Ayin Dalet. Kuf Ayin Dalet. We were talking about a dimyon. There's a delusion that causes a tremendous amount of pain in our lives. It's the delusion that the other person that we know is so happy, so well-adjusted, is so matzliach, and everything is great, and by me it's not. And for that person, everything comes easily. And parnasa, and with the children, and shalom bayis. This dimyon that everything goes smoothly for the rest of the world, and I'm the only one that has to work so hard, and has to suffer, and has so many milchamas, that everything's a struggle. This is a very, very destructive and dangerous dimyon. It's a dimyon because it comes from that place that's not real. It comes from a place that's not real. And it is the singular, most powerful cause of kinnah. So kinnah, jealousy, is to a large extent based upon something that is non-existent. It's based upon sheker, upon a falsehood, upon a dimyon, upon one's imagination. Now that makes it difficult to overcome because dimyonis are very, very powerful. People are making billions of dollars selling dimyonis. Dimyonis are very powerful. So it's hard to overcome a dimyon because it's very, very lifelike. It seems very realistic. On the other hand, you can't hear? Are you able to hear in the back? You're able to hear? On the other hand, when a person, and this is what the tzaddik is explaining, when a person thinks about this, when he's mizboinen, when he thinks deeply and he meditates and realizes that these are dimyonis, then the maila of a dimyon is that the moment that you realize that it's a dimyon, it disappears. It's narishkeit. It's silly. It's nothing. It doesn't exist. So the monsters that some of us might have had in our dreams, you know, growing up, they're very, very real to children. The monsters are very, very frightening and very real. Adults have their own monsters. The monsters are very real. A talented friend or a therapist will be able to direct that individual towards a deeper realization that there's a dimyon that is very real to him, that's very real to her, but at the same time, it doesn't exist. And once that clicks, the non-existence of the dimyon clicks, then it doesn't take a long time. It's an immediate, almost immediate refuah and yeshua. The same way that we've outgrown certain fears that were baseless. I mean, we replaced them with new things, but some of the old things we've outgrown because they're dimyonis. They come from the world of tohu, the world of nothingness. So we're on the bottom, the last four lines on the right-hand column of Kuf Ayin Dalet. It says, V'yadua mai mechazal v'tzadikim. You see that, the last few lines of Kuf Ayin Dalet. The photos that has the numbers on it? Okay, Kuf Ayin Dalet, on the right-hand side, the last few lines. V'yadua mai mechazal v'tzadikim, s'chusim again l'shahem islamitahu, sh'lekol echad yesh ha'shver kaiten shelo. The truth is, every single person has his own shverkeiten. Everybody has his own difficulties. And very often, listen, somebody mentioned this to me at the end of the shiur last week. Does that mean that we're hoping that the other person really does have tzaras? God forbid. We want all Jews should all be happy. But the metzius is that the person shul kol kach makani boy, that the one that you're so jealous of, soivel alfei pamim yoisim imenu. In all likelihood, again, we want everybody to have simcha and bracha and nachas, but in all likelihood, either in that very same area that you're jealous of, or in some other inyan, that person is suffering 1,000 times more than you. Baruch nisa bagashmias, either in spiritual things or in physical things. Uneshtait v'yanar in his makana. And he's jealous, like it's a foolish thing, but he continues like a fool to go on being jealous when the jealousy comes from dimyonis, comes from tohu, from nothing. And besides that, Mashinidme, on the left-hand column of Kuf Ayin Dalet. Nechutz mizeh, mash nidma l'atzmai she'ena maslech. Then there's the second side of this. Leaving the other person, leaving for a moment the person that you're jealous of. What, of course, it's all related to is the fact that you see yourself as a lo yitzloch. You see yourself as someone who's unsuccessful. If you'd be confident, if you'd be happy, if you'd be well-adjusted and secure, so then you wouldn't, bichlal, have to pay attention, nor would you need to pay attention to what's going on by Yenim, what's by the other person. So this thought, mash, this is also from the world of tohu, of nothingness. This is mamish ashtus, this is a sheker. Mash nidma l'atzmo she'enem etzliach. Now I know everybody's thinking, or some of you are certainly thinking, that's not a dimyon. I know that I'm not matzliach. I know that I'm not matzliach. I mean, it's going to say now in the sefer that I really am matzliach, and I'm really wonderful, and I just don't know how wonderful I am, and that probably applies to everybody else that's sitting here except me. I'm really a leitutzlach. I am not matzliach. So the tzaddik says, "Mashenid melatz moshuhumatz enum she'enum matzliach." This delusion, this thought that comes from tohu, that you're not matzliach, befrat ben yoni ruchnius, especially when it comes to ruchnius. So you'll have a person that might admit, one might admit that the house is taken care of properly, and I'm matzliach, let's say, in my profession, or my career, or whatever it might be. But when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to spirituality, who could say that? Who could feel? Who could be certain to and comfortable and secure and confident to say that I'm a matzliach when it comes to spirituality? Humamish hepech mehamis. But davke here, more so in ruchnis than in gashmis, it's the opposite of the truth. Shekol echad yesh loy kol kar harbe chasod. Each and every Jew has so many chasodim. I was thinking about, you know, there's so many acts of kindness that each and every one of us does. A mother, every single moment of her life is chasadim and taivas. Every single moment, there's so many chasadim. I was thinking about this today. I'm already thinking a little bit about Sukkos. And, you know, Sukkos is Chag HaOsif. It's the time of the gathering, of the ingathering. So it's such an interesting thing. I don't know about you, but I really have very little connection to agriculture. Personally, I have very little to do with agriculture. I don't even like to get my hands dirty. Bichlal, not even inside the house, let alone in the fields. So the Yom Tovim revolve around agricultural seasons and events. And I was thinking about this. How could I connect? I was thinking, how could I, Moshe Weinberger, how could I connect to this concept of the Chag HaOsif? The short week that I spent once in Eretz Yisrael as a teenager, forced into helping on a yeshuv with agricultural things, was one of those miserable weeks of my entire life. As the Israelis looked on with great joy, watching American boys struggle with these things. And so how could I connect to this Chag HaOsif, the ingathering? And it must be that it connects to us. So even though it's not nogeya to most Jews nowadays, and certainly not in Chutzlar, it's not nogeya, the agricultural part of the Yontif, what does it mean Chag HaOsif? We're always so busy gathering our sins, gathering our aveiros. We're always so busy thinking about how terrible we are, how miserable life is. We're so busy with those things. When after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, after the whole period of the Yom Nerayim, and a person's able to do tshuva, and a person's able, hopefully, to see reality, to see the truth, to see what's real. So when the Simcha of Sukkot is that the Baruch Shalom says, do you know how good you are? I want you to gather in all of your mitzvahs, all of the wonderful things about yourselves. I want you to gather in all of the good that you've done in your lives. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you think about all the Averis. It's the time when you gather together your Averis. Sukkot is the time when you gather together all your mitzvahs. And you think about all the good things that you've done. And there's so much good, it's unbelievable. That's what he's saying. Each person has kol kach harbe chasodim. All right, we're not always thrilled to do them. We're not always doing the chasodim with a smile. But you know, the biggest nachas ruach the Baruch Shalom has is when you're doing something that's good, even though you don't feel like doing it, you're still trying to be good. Alof m'uravavis. thousands, tens of thousands of chassadim, each and every one of us. But ruchnius v'gashmius, spiritually, in other words, giving chizik to a friend, to a child, and in gashmius chassadim, v'eich efshel l'damas alatzmai she'enu matzliach. How can a person come to this conclusion? It's true we have bad days, we have shortcomings, but to paskin on oneself to say that I'm a person that's not matzliach, that I don't have hatzlacha. V'dibarnu beza Hashem Yisbaruch tzas bev Shabbos kodesh mizakama hayetzer mata beza she'enu matzliach. This is a very, very strong yetzahara to convince you that you're not matzliach. Mimela, everybody else is matzliach, of course, and jealousy is sure to follow. V'dibarnu mizeh beza Hashem Yisbaruch kama pam barichas godel mitzadikin. We just don't realize how precious every chesed is. How precious in our times, when there's such choshech, there's such darkness, there's such smallness in the world, how every single word of tefillah is so unbelievable. How every word of Torah is unbelievable. How every moment that's spent with a child is unbelievable. So we don't realize the significance of our ma'asim tovim. We certainly have an old-fashioned way of looking at our averus. And that's something that's ingrained in us, usually from school or from our upbringing, that the averus are gefährlich, the averus, the averus. But nobody really spoke too much about the chassadim that are constantly coming forth from us in our lives, the good things, and how significant every single word of tefillah. You know, mostly we felt that any davening that I've done is not enough. Either my parents are not happy, my teachers are not happy, the Baruch Shalom's unhappy. Same when it comes to any chassadim, when it comes to anything that we do that's good, there's always a feeling of being what? Of being below par, of not bringing any nachas to parents, to a Rebbe, to a teacher, to the Baruch Shalom. But Averis we believe in fully. It's an interesting thing, no? When it comes to an Avera, we're so old-fashioned. The Averis cause Churban, cause this, cause that. But when it comes to mitzvahs, we can't believe that every single moment where there's a chesed, where there's a word of davening, where there's a good thought, where there's a favor that you do, a tov that you do for a friend, where there's a chesed that you do for a child, that it causes unbelievable nachas ruach to Rabbi Shalom, and it's so good and it's so real. And ruba de ruba, that's what our lives are about. Good things. Do you know how many times I'll sit with somebody says they want to talk to me, and now it's only a few days, by the time we get back, it's only a few days before. Usually this is the season before Shanim Kippur, you know, confessions, and to come back, and I'll have like some tzaddik or some tzaddikas, really, really unbelievably good people come and tell me how, you have no idea how rotten I am, Rabbi, you have no idea what a miserable rush. And I'll always say, I don't, whatever you're going to tell me, there's no way in the world that a person like you is going to convince me that you're a rush. And then 99.9%, you know, there'll be that one amazing time, but really you start talking something strange. But 99% of the time, it's such an inflated view of Ra, of evil. It's such an inflated, terribly perverse and unhealthy way of looking at Averis. And then let's talk, you know what, let's not talk so much about your Averis, let's talk a little bit about your mitzvahs. And in relationships, don't we do the same thing? You could have people could be married. We're 99% of chassadim and tovus and good things, but there are a couple of things that are not kesedim. But that could take over a whole relationship. This terrible negativity, this terrible way of looking at things in such a dark way, that comes from the side of Lilith, is connected, by the way, much more to the feminine side than to the male side. To see negativity is more connected to the feminine side, which is Lilith. It's not a question of thanking or not. I'm talking about Metzias, Shane. I'm not talking about, you know, this is not like equal rights. I don't deal in that stuff. I'm talking about the Metzias. It comes from Lilith, and Lilith means darkness, means Lila. And Lilith, as you know, is her history. It's a Gemara in Erevin and Dafyut Ches, I think, and Chazal and Tikkun Yezayir. But it means darkness. It means seeing things in a dark way. Women have a stronger natia towards seeing things in a dark way. They're more connected to that Inyan, and they come from the Bechin of Din. And there's more of a Lilith, that feminine quality of Lilith, of Laila, of Choshech, of being hard on themselves, without being able to see. Kama kol mashu shanachno oisim, we're continuing, how every little drop, shanachno oisim kol kach choshu b'shamayim, especially nowadays, especially nowadays, how every single thing is so choshev in Shemayim. So choshev. I was talking to a girl in our community 2 weeks ago when we were back. So we were talking on Shabbos. She had a hard experience in Yerushalayim last year. And a lot of it was connected to one particular teacher who basically gave them the feeling that you are a bunch of spoiled, rotten American brats who all you want is more and more Gashmias. And if you're able to, if you're able to stay here in my class, maybe one day you'll be happy like me. That was the basic message that she got. And she was going crazy because she began to look at herself as being terrible and terrible and terrible. And every single lecture was revolving around how I know what you girls are all thinking about. And she was thinking, I never thought that I'd think about that. But I guess you're smarter than me. You must know that I'm really such a low person. And it was all, you know, with a certain kind of a sweetness, like the kiss that kills. And this teacher was like pouring in everything negative. And she said, Mamish Beferish. The teacher said on more than one occasion that you know, maybe if you stay for another year, maybe, you know, if you are able to detach yourself from the ways of your terrible parents, so then maybe you'll be happy like me one day. So Kadim Kalei said, I don't know who this lady is, and I don't want to hear her name. And Hashem is Baruch Shem Rachmas, and I hope she is happy. A chance, most likely she's very unhappy. She's most likely unhappy. Anybody that talks like that, anybody that says things like that, and that uses very beautiful and wonderful girls in such a way, and to twist their minds and to hurt them in such a way, and all what? It's all the Shem Shemayim. I'm sure it's all the Shem Shemayim. Everybody does everything the Shem Shemayim. But in the meantime, the girl's totally tzibrochen from this, and she's wondering because it seemed to have worked so well for some of her friends, who have gotten so much from her. And there's, you know, that whole mahalach, that whole mischak, that whole game is being played with young minds, which is very, very dangerous. And at the same time, with the right person, is wonderful. But with the wrong person, could be, with the wrong teacher. I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about the wrong teacher who's giving it over in the wrong way. Could be terribly destructive. And it's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly how much damage was not done until much later. Thank God, this particular girl is a very, very put together person. And therefore, she's able to understand that something's wrong and to talk about it. She's talking about it. A lot of the other chaver, they just, you know, they put on the frum act for a while, but they're not talking about it. And then at some point later on, they'll turn around and wonder, you know, what was that? What happened over there? Am I really as bad as that teacher made me feel? Am I really that terrible? So this is a serious problem, which I'm hoping, of course, is very, very isolated. Not to recognize, to see the good in oneself and to be mechazik Jews with all the taivas and all the chassadim that they're doing and how much good there is in them. That's what he says. V'kama kol mashu shanafna oisim kol kach hoshu b'shamayim. Umi mele, after the bracket to me mele, mashu mekani b'hasheni ein l'shum mekor b'ha'emes. So there's no source in truth for this kinna, for this jealousy that you have, for this other person. Because you're jealous because you think of yourself as somebody that's not much liach, and you see the other person as a balas haslacha, just like this wonderful girl from my community, that she sees the other girls and they seem to be so much ahead of her in ruchnius because they came out like, you know, really like, you know, part of the team, and she wanted to leave the place and she was unhappy, and she sees the other ones as being much more mitzliach than her. So her, you know, she had the presence of mind actually to leave that place by January. But because she has wonderful, wonderful parents who gave a tremendous chizik and saw there was something unhealthy. So, but she saw the friends as having so much more hatzlocha than her. And who knows what is that? You know, you go to a lot of these ruchnistic things, and dafki, you see some of those who are the most unhappy in life, they'll catch on strongest to something like that. Everybody's different. But if you're mekane, if you're jealous of somebody, it's a siman that you're not happy with yourself. It's a siman that you see yourself as being someone who's not matzliach, and that you're davening and you're chsodim and you're learning whatever it is, and you're parenting, whatever it might be, or being a wife, being a daughter, that it's not with hatzlacha. Not as true that we all need to improve, and that's what we're talking about. But to see oneself as somebody who's not matzliach, ad kedei kach, that you're always looking and noticing how the other person taki is matzliach. This is terribly, terribly destructive. So he says, "Mashu makana b'asheni in lishuma kar ba'emes." It has no root and source in truth. Shalifia emes umatzliach ma'ay. The emes is, the truth is, that you are very matzliach. You're a person who's matzliach. That like all of us, we need adjustments. We need adjustments, but not the chalila. We're not matzliach. When it comes to learning, when it comes to davening, when it comes to tahara, trying to purify ourselves, with midas, I would guarantee that most of you here think that you're terrible people. And it's a horrible thing for me to say. But just talking to people, so many people over the years, this is the kind of impression that I'm getting, that like the majority of people, when you talk to them, they think that they're terrible people. And it comes from a place of sheker, of tohu. It comes from an unhealthy place. And when you tell them that, you say, well, you see, that's also what's terrible with me. Besides everything else, I'm also so unhealthy. I'm so terribly messed up. So you're right. I'm a complete lo yitzluch. And in addition to that, I'm also doing a terrible avera by seeing myself as being a lo yitzluch. You know, these are the conversations I'm having with people. The kayochid v'yochid yesh lehoifin atzlocha shaloi. Listen, everybody has their own hatzlocha, their own inyon. For one person, the biggest hatzlocha could be that you didn't scream like a meshugan the other day. And for you, that's hatzlocha. With your nature, that's hatzlocha. And you're going to make yourself crazy because you're thinking, wow, that's the best I could do is that I didn't act like a nut today. That's my best, my greatest accomplishment. And you see your neighbor, like everything is so sweet and such ne'imus and so beautiful and so pleasant. And everything about you, and you're saying, like, this is the best day I ever had. I didn't scream today. And when you measure yourself vis-a-vis your friend, you're completely not matzliach. And the emes is that for you, that was a gewaldig hatzlocha that day. It's true. And that with your nature and your background and your temperament, that was a hatzlocha. And that person might not have had a hatzlocha that day in her world on her madrega. Everybody has a different parasha. Lefi kaychaisu, lefi shlichusai, what your shlichus is. And the kaychus that Hashem Baruch gave you with how you could be matzliach. V'chol anefilas, and your own nefilas. So to you, what might be a horrible nefila, you look at this as being a horrible nefila. And in your madrega, where you're coming from, with your nisyan, this is not anywhere the same nefila, like the person that in your eyes is so much liar. I spoke a lot about this past Shabbos, then, you know, for those of you who are here, then you have the milchama. That fighting a war and the struggles that we have in becoming better people and better Jews, those wars are not, God forbid, to be looked at as a b'deeved, that I'm a lo yisloch, and to run away from the milchamas. But the milchamas are the tachlis of my life, that the Baruch Shem created us to be in that milchama. And the fact that today, in a particular skirmish, I was not as successful as I was hoping, or the fact that b'chlal, I have to fight in order to accomplish this, and it seems to me that for that person, this good midah comes so easily. And I'm so makan of that person, I'm so jealous, because for me, not to get angry is such a milcham. For me, to be a good mother, a good parent, is everything's with a milcham, is with a milcham. For me, to with my children, everything's a milcham, everything's a milcham, shalom bayis, all milchamas. And the other person, it seems to you, doesn't have milchamas. And we look at ourselves, and anytime that, the way that, this is what I was talking about on Shabbos, that we have this terrible, terrible, perverse way of looking at things, to think that if there's a milcham, it's a sim that I'm not matzliach. And that's not true. And as I explained on Shabbos, that Adarabah, the whole tachlis of being in this world is to be a loichem, to be a fighter. And the milchamas are l'chadchila. And the milchamas give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest nachas. And that's our fight in this world, to fight the milchamas. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And like they say about the chassidim, that you give the Yetzirah a patch, he gives you a patch. The ikkar is that you get in the last patch. To get in the last smack. And that's all. And that's what we're all trying to do. That's what we're all working for. This is one of the most important means of getting rid of uprooting the jealousy from our hearts. This mistaken way of looking at ourselves. It's such a toast, it's such a silliness, it's such a dimion. It's from a place of tohu. And people will think, no, I have to make up this game to fool myself, to make up this fantasy that I'm really a good person. That's such silliness. The fantasy is that you're not a good person. The emes is that we are good people and we're working hard and we can't measure ourselves based upon something. Sometimes you look at a sefer that was written 500 years ago, or you hear about a babi, you hear about a zaydi and the madregas that this tzaddik had, that tzaddik had. And my father always says to me that when we were, that when we were 16, 17 years old in our place where we were in Europe, it was a lot easier to learn a Blat Gemara than it is for a boy nowadays. Or for somebody not to get lost in Tumah. What were the great attractions back, you know, like in, you know, in Ungvar in 1925? Like, what were the big attractions over there? You know, it wasn't the... But nowadays, if you see a kid that's able to try, that's able a little bit to hold in learning, and he's fighting against, you know, doing the wrong things, a person like that, a child like that, 30, 40, 50 years ago would have been Tzadik Yisrael Da'ilam. And the Baruch Hu put on the Shamas into the world at this time because we, and not the early generations, we have the koiches to fight against these things that they never had to fight against. Such crazy things that are around nowadays. And we don't give ourselves credit for the kedusha, for the what, for the little bit that we daven, the little bit we learned, the little bit of rochnius that we squeeze out of our lives. We only see their veiras, and then you hear shiurim and lectures from people who are measuring us nowadays by what's in the svarim from 500,000-600,000 years ago, when bechlal they didn't have to put up, they didn't have to deal with any of it we're dealing with now. The bechlal did. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, when the Baruch Hashem sent the Baal Shem Tov to the world, and the Baal Shem Tov came to the world to tell Yidden that the Baruch Hashem loves them, and that they're good, and there's so much good in each and every one, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that every single Jew, even the tiniest little peasant, with all of his aveiros, but the Tzaddikim said the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh loved the biggest Rasha more than any Jew ever could love his own child. That's how the Baal Shem Tov loved every Jew. And he said that the Baruch Shalom loves each and every Jew with an Ahava Nitzchus. When he came to the world, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came Davka in these last years to tell us that. Davka in these last years. It's been true all the time, but there's such Choshech now. There's such Choshech. And if you're going to come now and it's going to be in a negative way with putting down children, putting down students, putting down oneself, so it's not going to lead to any kedusha, it's not going to lead to more Yiddishkeit for kid. It causes tzibrochenkeit, it causes everything to be broken and to be broken and to be unhealthy. The last paragraph. Ukamaychei. Mashin nidmalei. But it seems to you, then there's this other thing. You see that you work hard, like you spoke about last week, you work hard to do something, you're working hard, and the other person gets more recognition. The other person is held in greater esteem by others than you. Here you worked at something and the other person's getting thanked. Like, you know, like there's some breakfast or something and they're saying, and I want to thank Bela, and I want to thank Sarah so-and-so, and Rachel so-and-so, and Rivka so-and-so. I want to thank, and you're waiting there. And all the wonderful, wonderful women from the shul and from the community that were involved. And he says, looks like it's not going to happen because they're saying the wonderful women, they're not saying names anymore. And then they don't say your name. And you have to tell everybody how you're so happy that they didn't say your name. And you have to feel good that they didn't say your name because you're running away from COVID. And it's not COVID. As we learned last week, it's not even if COVID. You push it, you're right. There should be Hakaras HaTayv. And someone botched up probably, and we all do that. And there wasn't sufficient Hakaras HaTayv. And you deserved Hakaras HaTayv. But the problem is that someone else, there was Hakaras HaTayv for somebody else. And you know that you really worked harder. And you know that you care more about it. And the Hakaras HaTayv was for the other person. And you feel tzibrochen and you feel jealous. V'chadoyme v'chadoyme. Each person in his or her own life. You belong to a certain community, a certain shul, a certain yeshiva, a certain chassidus, and you see bigger hatzlacha by another place. Our women don't usually care too much about that stuff, but the men get very, very caught up in that Indian. You know, women, that's not so much shaykh to them, this Indian. But men get very, very tzibrochen by that. By the other yeshiva, by the other chassidus, by the other rashi, by the other magad sheva. They become very caught up in this Indian. Ruba the ruba hu demyaynis. Mostly these are demyaynis. Ruba the ruba, these are demyaynis. She'enim emes klal, that have no source in truth. Anybody who thinks a little bit about the truth and who is somewhat connected to Nizam Koiches Nefesh, and how the Nefesh, the soul of a person, functions, and the Yetzer Hara knows that this is a means of tricking, of deceiving a person. This comes purely from the Yetzer Hara. B'chol Gil, at every age, the next page in Yenner, Haltazai, that this whole, all these cheshbainas that they hold more from this person, or they hold more from another person, they hold more from him than they hold more from me. Anybody that thinks deeply into the Koiches Nefesh knows that this is all shkarim and narishkeiten and dimyonis, who they hold from and who cares. And they might be saying that because this person needs, that person needs a compliment. You know how many times I have to be very, very careful, you know, in shul. So sometimes you make a mistake and you didn't say thank you. You did say thank you. So you have someone that asked me 10 times, please, please, Rebbe, this time don't mention my name. You know, because the 9 times before I did, so then that one time, so the person begged me, so I tacky didn't. Then afterwards I find out from the wife that he was also broken back, I didn't mention his name. Like, you know, this happens Kaseida. And then, you know, so you said, then you're going to say it. So maybe he really doesn't want me to say, I don't know. You know, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. So sometimes you want to give chizik to somebody, so you want to give special chizik. So I was talking to a wonderful young man yesterday. He was a Rebbe in yeshiva, he had 6th grade boys in the yeshiva, and he was telling me, there's a boy who didn't say anything the whole year. And he was trying to get him to answer, so I didn't say anything the whole year. Finally, the boy said something, and it was even a little bit right. So he called him to the front of the class, and he said to the boy, Yankele, say with such a beautiful answer. I want the whole class to hear what a beautiful answer you said. And he said the answer, and the Rebbe, and the young man told me that he praised the boy, and he gave him, you know, the equivalent of like a dollar, you know, a mitzvah dollar, whatever, givaldi. At the end of the year, he told me that the Rebbe gave the boys to fill out a certain thing, what they were unhappy with in the class. What do you think? That this boy wrote that what made him most unhappy was that he called him to the front of the class. And he told me, he said, here I thought, like, I went home thinking, boy, I got my Olam Haba today, didn't I? I gave this kid such a good feeling. I brought him to the front, and I was mechazik him, and I made him so proud. And the kid wrote on the thing that like, you know, this was the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. That you made me go to the head of the class and say, you know, you never know. You don't know. And you know, you think, so you think that they hold from you, they don't hold from you. Like, you know, so like I'll be someplace and they'll say, you know, Rabbi, why am I going to say anything? I think to myself, hey, this guy must think that I have such terrible self-esteem that he's got to say these things about me. That he's got to say these ridiculous exaggerations. And so you must think that, like, I need so much his chaskis, you know, so maybe I do. You know, you can go crazy. You can go crazy. So he's saying that, k'moshom chazal etzel meraglim. And we spoke about this in the past. This is an amazing, the whole pasha of the meraglim, of the spies, whether it's Yisrael, you know, the Yeshua Kalev, the whole parasha of the Meraglim is so amazing about the mistakes we make with ourselves. And the mistakes that the Meraglim made are the same mistakes that we're making. What happened there? So you remember what they said? They added on a couple extra words. They said that we were like grasshoppers, we were like insects in our own eyes, and so we were in the eyes of the giants, the powerful people of Canaan. We were like insignificant little insects in their eyes. Now, so all the Sfarim say, you want to say that in our own eyes, in my own eyes, I'm like a grasshopper, I'm a nobody. Well, you could say that you're about yourself. But who told you that in the eyes of the people of Canaan that you were nobody, that you were like nothing, that you were like insects? Who told you that? Where did you get that from? So, ulai hayisem beinem kamalochem. But this is the way that a person thinks. That they don't hold for me. Nobody holds for me. Why? The terrace is because since you're like a nut, an insect in your own eyes, since you're worthless in your own eyes, you begin. It becomes clear to you. You're so certain, like the Meraglim, the Chen Hayinu Be'enayim. Everybody must look at me in the same miserable, dark, and horrible way that I look at myself, and they all think they don't hold for me. They're not mocking me. They don't. And this is because of how you look at yourself. But who told you? Maybe Ula Hisim by name Kemalochim. So they imagined them talking. They heard the dwellers of the land talking amongst themselves. And you know how it is. So what are they saying? They must be saying that about me. But they must be saying this about me. You don't know what they're saying. But this is the conclusion that everybody reaches. They must be saying the worst things about me. Because that's how you think of yourself. Even though, of course, we don't understand the whole union of the Maraglim, they were very great people. Canal. Aval Chazal malamdim kaychas and nefesh. Chazal teaching us the kaychas and nefesh. Shenidmili Yehudi, that is what? As a mahalta zayin azay, that you begin to think, he holds for me like this, she holds for me like that, they don't really hold for me, they don't like me. Since my name wasn't mentioned, they must think that I didn't do a nice job. All of these dimyaynis mamish. V'chein hayinu beineihem. Every time you find yourself thinking like this, what the other one thinks of you, just remember, just have that pasuk like in front of your eyes. V'chein hayinu beineihem. And that was the chet of the meraglim. It causes a lot of aggravation, the chet of the meraglim. V'hakol dimyaynis. Dimyaynis. K'meichem b'inyin akar satayv. Same thing, it's all dimyan as yenis, nishmak yatayv. So you think that he really doesn't appreciate me. You know how many times, especially when it comes to boys or to men who are not as good, as careful sometimes, as expressing hakaras hatayv, there could be a boy, a man, who has tremendous hakaras hatayv, but he doesn't express it the way that he should, or the way you would rather he express it. You would rather he say that it was the most fantastic, spectacular supper I ever had. And you'd rather the boy would say, you know, Mom, I want to tell you, you do so many tevis for me, you're unbelievable, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And you know, most of the boys speak, you know, manis, if you can get a syllable, if you get maybe a comments or a pasach, it's already, it's a chiddush from a boy, right? So when they get older, they can already maybe put a sentence or two together. If it's a very chosh of a boy, maybe as an adult, he can put a paragraph together. But the Ruba men have a hard time saying these things and putting it together. Does that mean that he's not makyatayv? Everybody needs a kind word. We would like to hear a good word. But does it mean that he's not makyatayv? He's not makyatayv. I had a conversation with a woman right before the summer. This was one of the conversations that I was in the car, and if I would have been driving across America, it would have gone on till the end. So fortunately, I was just going to Flatbush, so it took only 40 minutes. But it was this kind. The mahalach was that my husband is this, my husband is that, and I can't take it anymore, and I did something for me, he's not market type, and you know, everything bad, no good, he doesn't care about me, this whole thing. So I said, tell me something. I remember that 2 years ago, so you were pretty sick with a certain thing, and you had a sickness, isn't that true? She says, yes, but Hashem doing it. So I said, tell me something. How was your husband during that time? So she said, oh no, I have to admit, he was really good, you know, with the kids and with me, and you know, he took care. I have to admit, he was good. So I asked her, so tell me something. During that good period, which according to you, out of 25 years, there was just those two, that short time. During that good period of Nebuchadnezzar, when you weren't feeling well, did you find that your husband was saying to you nice things? No, he doesn't say nice things. But he was very, very nice. He was very good. So I tried to explain that that's his hakaras hatov. Not that he shouldn't find ways of expressing it. It's not an excuse, and everybody should try. Everybody has to work on themselves. But right away, but she thinks that he's not makir tov, and I says, bechlal, not true. And if you would ask him, he would say he's makir tov. 100% he's makir tov. But he doesn't know how to articulate properly, and that's something that for many men, it's a lifetime struggle. And you could have a woman that she'll give a whole speech and she'll write a whole gram and she'll say poetry and she might not be market type one tenth of the guy. We don't know. Why? Because she's better with words? Okay. It doesn't mean that she has more hakaras hatov than he does. It just means she might be more expressive than he is. It's hard to say. I mean, it's not always true. So he thinks Unyana is mer market type, Fratsveite, and Emes Klal. This person's hakaras hatov. We don't know how that person's market toiv. We really don't understand. It's not clear to us whether they're market toiv. V'yesh b'chol zarichas gadol b'kaychas nefesh. Mashigilon a tzaddikim ein kana makom laharach. V'av shekishein nisyane d'zeh. Even at a time when you're not being particularly tested in this area, meaning that it's a time when you might not be feeling strong envy or jealousy for somebody, and and you think that you're being pretty rational, you're pretty much in charge of your seichel during that time. In other words, when you're looking at things rationally, and you're not feeling jealous, when you look at it, it all becomes a chukah tlulah, means it becomes like a joke, a gelachta. And as you realize then, this is crazy. It's when your midah of jealousy takes over, and you can't look at it rationally, then everything becomes black and terrible and miserable. But after that period passes, and you're at a time when you're feeling good about yourself, and you're not feeling jealous, so that when you look back, you realize that the whole thing is a gelachta. You realize that it's narishkeit. Veneer k'may kinderspiel. Then it looks to you like it was a child's game. And the same way you would tell your child. Well, if we would listen to one-tenth of the aces we give our children, we would be tzaddik. We don't listen to the aces we give our children. Because we always think, why? That's kinderspiel. But I'm involved in very serious matter that my name wasn't mentioned on the women's auxiliary list of the shul. This is serious. My kid with the groups, this is cancer. It's all kinderspiel. It's just that these are the ones that don't have shaitels. These are the ones with the shaitels, but it's not kinderspiel. It's all childish games. And we're all involved in these games. It's just now that it seems to us that the stakes are higher. But when we look at the children, we say, sweetheart, sweetheart, you have your Indian, she has her Indian. You're so good at what you do. Why doesn't it work for us? But we always expect it to work for the kids. And we think that they can just march off happy and not feel bad and not be jealous. But for us, no. We have to spend 25 years in therapy. And we have to, this is a big Indian. This is a very big Indian. And the whole world is to blame. The whole world is to blame, and there's a whole like hit list. You know, mom and dad and the teachers and friends, and everybody's part of this conspiracy to make me feel this way. And if your child tells you that, you look at it and you say, it's such a silly little thing, and it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But for us, it's a big deal. For us, it's just as silly and immature. It's more so, because we have more seichel. We have more seichel to contend with these things. And the little ones don't. That's what it means. Near come my kinderspiel. When you get out of the Indian, you see that it's a child's game. When you're out of it, when you're in it, this is like the most serious thing in the world. It's the most serious thing in the world. You know, I don't know, you know, when I look back, we used to have in yeshiva when I was growing up, we didn't have any playground. It was only on the roof. We played on the roof. And we had this game, it was called Off the Wall. It was the only game we could play over there, and without flying off the roof. So we had this thing where there'd be like a bunch of guys, and there was one guy, the guy whose turn it was, would throw the ball. Maybe the girls did this too. Would throw the ball against the wall, and the other guys, somebody would have to catch it. And if the guy catches it, he gets to be the one that throws the thing off the wall. And as you're out, and the other guy gets. So I used to see myself as being like the greatest player of this in the world, the most unbelievable off the wall guy. I still am in the world in different ways. This is an unbelievable thing. And in my memory, this field that we played on top of the roof was as big as Yankee Stadium. And that's when I was a little kid. Many years later, I was back in that place. And just for nostalgic reasons, I took a little walk up to the roof. And now they made a whole big fence there. You know, it was embarrassing. It wasn't even the size of like a sukkah. You know, and here, like I thought, I get the ball all the way to the other end. All the demyonis that we have, when you're no longer a child, you look back and you see how small it was. When you're a child, it seems to be so. It seems like it's so big. It's not anything that we could possibly deal with. It's like that always. That's why that's why big people, they don't look at these small things as being big. They look at small things for what they are, as being small. And the things that are really, really important, they see as being big. That's how it is. So in this world, London and New York and Tokyo look like they're very choshev. And Yerushalayim looks like it's very small. But in the real world, Yerushalayim is the biggest place in the world, and London, New York, and Tokyo are silly little places. I mean, that's how, but more people take New York seriously. New York is taken very seriously. New York is not a serious place. When you're out of this, when you're out of the dimyon, when you're not in the fantasy, when you're out of the delusion, so then you see it for what it really is, which is a little thing. But for a child, it's a big thing. For a child, it's a big thing. So that's what he's saying. Kimo kindishpil. Mekomakom yedu mitzadikim shebeis shahamidis einemus gabrim. We know that at a time when your midas rose, when that jealousy is not, when you're not feeling the jealousy, then what? The cook at the alazachin is be garnished mamish. Then you're able to see that all that you were jealous of before is garnished, is mamish, nothing. It's silly. It's nothing. Aval beishim is gabrim hamidas. But when the midas rose, when the kin is strong, when the jealousy is strong, then you see that flaket imelchama adleva shamayim mamish. Then you see that then you feel like this milchama adleva shamayim, that it's so real, it's something which is going up to the highest heights. Let's return. He says to what we were talking about, that this kinna, this jealousy. We learned at the very beginning we were talking about this, that kinna, that this kinna that we have in us is so subtle that when we're talking about kairach, that we don't even realize that so many of the things that we say that in a very, very subtle way can hurt another person, or it can be lashon hara, it can be rechilas, or that we don't judge somebody in a fair way. Somebody says, "Ma'asim ha'gashes, feelings, machshavas, and diburim, words, and ma'asim." Shein dinam chalalshes abam yakinah hazeh. We don't even know that it's coming from that kina. We don't even realize that it's coming from that very, very quiet little kina that's inside. Or befrat, and especially, befrat hamachshavas va'diburim sheis kind of as the Shemesh Baruch Leel, ligram chalish zadas l'ledaber oifin shenakim lashon hara, unerab kukin. We said before that sometimes as a result of your jealousy, you don't really acknowledge this jealousy. You don't come right out and admit it or say to somebody something terrible. But in a very, very, in a very tiny, almost imperceptible way, you might think of this person in a negative way. You might say something that can be interpreted as negative. And so on, when you have a kinner for a chavra, a stam Yehudi. There's a long thing. So look in Nunches, and we'll read it in the Hebrew, in the footnote. V'kasher medabrim ito. Sometimes you're jealous of somebody in a very subtle way. And when you speak to that person, asher medabrim alav, or you speak about that person, azay yecholim lipol mehapem milim shel bitl. Words of bitl can fall from the mouth. Bitl meaning like, you know, like to indicate that person doesn't really know what he doesn't know as much as he doesn't. Certain, those you don't say lashon hara, but you say something, or you even make a certain gesture of bittul, which is a put down on some level. She chaylus ligrim lahu chalishus adas agmas nefesh. You know, you can, with a wave of the hand, you can make that person feel a chalishus adas, feel bad, because there's this kinna. Why? Kya kinna amukish nimtzes. Because of this happens especially with mishpachas, with a sister, a brother, sisters-in-law, brothers, that to be mevatel in a very subtle way, and it's coming from this kinna, which is deep inside, that you don't even know that you have a kinna. He geiremish sheyotzo achutzem milim sheyachaylum lahachiv l'odam achir achmar l'slan. This causes some words to come out that without even realizing it can cause the person to feel bad. Kihi gairemes shiyinatlu miha odam ahargeshim hadakim vadinim shal shmira vizihiru shiyesh lakal yehudi shashayim mashgiach al atzmai bitmidish shal yigum shum chalisha dash the yehudi achawai. Because that very little bit of jealousy that's almost imperceptible inside of you, that little bit takes away from you that shmira. In other words, each and every Jew, b'teva, there's a shomer when you want to be a good person, you want to say the right things. There's a shmira. When you are somebody that's very, very choshev, when you're somebody that you really admire, that you respect, that you love very deeply, in a pure way, so you don't want to say even anything that could be interpreted as something which is negative or bad or wrong or a poor reflection upon him or you. You're so careful. But he's saying that when you're jealous of someone, even in a very subtle way, when you're with that person or you're talking about that person, the guard is somewhat down. You're not, there's that shmira, that usual shmira that you would have to be so careful is not there, because there's something deep inside of you that wants to put that person down, that wants to see that person, God forbid, diminished, hurt, but not God forbid hurt in a terrible way, but just on some level to be made less than you, to be made less than you. And since your jealousy has convinced you that that person is greater than you somehow, in a very subtle way, you would like to see that person put into her or his place, which is just slightly beneath you. It's always like that, just slightly, not chas v'shalom on the floor, just beneath, a notch, because then you'll feel okay. Then your life will be vindicated and you'll feel good about yourself. This is something that is so hard, what he's saying over and over, unless you think about these things, unless you work on yourself, unless you're brutally honest with yourself, it's very hard to know. On the left-hand side, after Nun Ches. V'yochel, it's around 8 lines down. V'yochel liyos kina al anoshim harbe. And you could be jealous of many people. Chaveim harbe, many friends. V'chein mekroive mishpoche, relatives, shcheinim, neighbors, chadayimah. These are people that you might meet every day. And keseder, which means that you're not careful. You're not careful to avoid hurting the person. Because this is a person who in your mind, well, I shouldn't say in your mind, in your nefesh, this is a person who deserves to be hurt. Why? Because that person has sinned by being better than you, in your imagination. That person has sinned against you. It's a sin against you. By what? By being better than you. By being more matzliach. By being mentioned. And you're not being mentioned. Therefore, now, on some level, I'm going to have to repair the damage that was done by, on some level, causing pain. And it can be very subtle. Not a big thing. Something. By omission. A little bit of a patch. A little bit of a bittle. Something. V'advar ma'amu k'ma'oid ma'oid. This is very deep. Loma hakina mevi'z. It's a very deep inyan. Why does kina, why does jealousy cause this? Avol zeh ha-metzi'is. But this is the metzi'is, as was taught us by Chazal and by all the tzaddikim. Ukamoichei, kshemedaber ve'ginyenem, that when you speak about somebody else, ubefrat kishayesh ezet tzibur. Now, you're not speaking to this person, you're speaking about the person. And you, in some way, when you speak about that person, something is left out. Something is not the way it should be. There's a little hint that, well, I want you to know that, all right, I don't want to say. I don't want to say it. So it might be lashon hara. It's not exact. Well, okay. It might not be the way that it seems. Let's just leave it at that. And many other ways, even without saying such a lashon, but to leave 3 dots at the end of a sentence, people know how to do that. It's a very common thing not to end the sentence properly, but to have 3 dots afterwards, and the person walks away thinking, boy, that's the real interesting part, is after the 3 dots, and how am I going to find out the 3 dots? So I'm going to find someone that didn't go to the Shemir Zaloshon Shia today, you know, to get what's after the 3 dots. There are ways that a person does this, each person in his or her own way, that leaves something about the other person that can leave room in another person's, when you're speaking about that person, that the other person will walk away with the impression that she's not such a tzaddik, he's not such a big tzaddik, it's not the way it seems, that person's daughter is not as from as you might, as everybody thinks, and this one's son is not such a catch, like a baby. All these 3 dots that are left at the end of sentences, that the Rebbeinu Shalom knows, kaseida, that we leave those 3 dots. And we would never, ever admit, especially when it comes to mishpacha. When you speak about a tzibur, you speak about a different yeshiva, different community, different shul, different chassidus, whatever it is, shemargish kina mukaleim, where there's a jealousy for that different group, mishum shenidmela, you have this at work. You know, you could have at work, whatever the job is, so you'll have different people. Let's say you're teaching in a school. So there are other teachers in the school and the faculty. There are a lot of stuff that goes on in faculties. A lot of stuff. And you're this person, the principal appreciates more, and the other person, they don't realize you know how much you put into this kid, into the curriculum. Bechlal at work, they're very complicated, very very complicated relationships at work. How in the same office, how in the same office there could be different groups. You know, you could work at a certain place, and let's say there are 10 people working there, or you have 4 people working, whatever it is, and there are different groups. Whatever that means, how they're broken up. They usually are broken up because they share in common a hatred for somebody else. So these groups at work, that they can join, you know, you could have a group, and the group, and they're all working together, and they're supposed to have a common goal and a common cause, but in a very subtle way, or sometimes not so subtle, but usually in a subtle way, there are negative hints that are dropped or comments that are made about someone that belongs to the other side or to the other chevre, or they do things this way. I wouldn't do it this way. That's a very popular sentence. Now, I understand, and you know, there is some basis for that, but I wouldn't do it that way. I mean, you know, that's, you wouldn't do it that way. So there are things that are said at work and between different chevres at work that can cause chalishas hadas, or even if the person doesn't know about it, these are things that are coming from kinah. They come from an insecurity, and come from a jealousy. Ubefrat kishiyesh eizet tzibur shemagish kinah mukaleim, especially if there's a certain tzibur. Again, it could be at work, at a certain tzibur, a certain group at work, or it could be, you know, part of what one school or one group might do to strengthen the morale of their own people is to put down. That's something which in sports is a very, very powerful thing, to put down the other team, to put down the other team. Anytime there's a sporting event, especially if you see the chayas and the boxers, so they spend months and months putting down, being mevazi the other side. And that's a way of being mechazik yourself. So you find that, again, Jews that are shomer Torah mitzvahs, they're more careful, of course, but still, in a subtle way, the people from one place of work can be putting down other people in that line of work from another place, or another tzibur, another group. It could be another yeshiva, it could be another... whatever it is, that there's a way to do that. Mishum shenidmalai, because it seems to you, as an eminent effect from that tzibur, was a belong dark. Because it seems to you that they're taking you away from you when it comes with shuls. So it seems that they're taking you away from your shul. The other tzibur is taking away from your shul. The other community, the other group is taking away from your hatzlacha. And you feel that it's on your cheshbon. Ashar demyonis. These, of course, are all demyonis because it's a hashgacha. You know, everybody has their place and their time and so on. But these are demyonis that cause a person to feel very jealous of a different tzibur, of a different group. We're going to go for an extra few minutes. I mentioned at the beginning, some of you came later, just to try to fill in a little bit. Ashat Sibur Hazem Matzliach, and anybody has to leave, they shouldn't hesitate. Ashat Sibur Hazem Matzliach Yoise Mehat Sibur Shaloi. Ashat Sibur Zaina Oiches Mehat Sibur Shalonu. Or it bothers you that they don't hold for me. In other words, that other group, that other yeshiva, that other place of work, they don't hold from our group. And that hurts. Achadayim Lazah. So then when you're talking about it, when it comes up in a conversation, that other group, or that other shul, or that other chassidus, whatever it is, when it comes up in a conversation, so then what? It comes out. Then certain words come out that are not bekavadig. Certain things come out, again, with the three dots that are not the way shouldn't have been said, or leaving something up to the imagination that should not be left up to the imagination. Okay, Ryan found in Lashon Hara, you could even fall into Mamash Lashon Hara. Kama v'kama palmi rachmon l'tzlan. Mizel o'irak b'tziba gadol, ragam b'tziba kot. That's not only with a big community, it could be even with a small little place, a little, again, it could be at work where there are 2 people. It could be 3 people at work. And it could be you feel that you're a team and there's somebody else that's not like you and it's not from your team and mimele, these lashonis, these thoughts. L'mosho mishu mispala beis v'smedrish, could be davin in a shul. Could be a little shul, a little stable. A loymed beizi yeshiva kol. You learn a boy or a man learns in a little yeshiva, a little kol. Befratim hu achray leizi yeshiva. Especially if you're in charge of that yeshiva, it's your baby. You know, you worked to help this yeshiva, to support the yeshiva, to build the yeshiva. Chadaim a taimech bay, or you support it financially. V'nidmelashi yeshiva acheres a besmedrash acher kol acher v'chadaim atzliach yaser. And it seems to you that another yeshiva, another besmedrash, another shtivel has more atzlocha than yours. Next page. Oshem garayim yeshiva shaloi, or somehow it's somehow it's taking away from your yeshiva, it's taking away from your shul, it's taking away from your place of work, from your school, it's taking away from your family. Somehow, a family is also a tzibur. So sometimes you think that family is hatzlach, is taking away from your family, is taking away from your mishpacha. You wanted to buy a certain house, you wanted to have a certain place, and somebody else got it before you, and it's on your cheshbon, and it's all over this, the miyonis, this shkarim, because of course not in your cheshbon. Everybody has their own cheshbon, that person's supposed to have that place, not you. But you have this cheshbon that something happened here to take away from my family, to take away from my tzibur, my little group, and my little group is my family. It's very, very common to say something about that other group that's not bekovet, that's not the right way, it wasn't said properly, and even if you didn't say anything where the words were destructive, but it could be that the tone of your voice or what you were implying was destructive. If you begin to pay attention to these things, if you begin to think about them, Yochel is kamaz emotzu, you will see how common this is. V'chein ha'inyin shel harab kukin al yochid al tzibur, as the same thing when it comes to making a certain gesture, to make a certain way of looking down. Again, you might not say something on an individual al tzibur k'sheish kinez agarim shetomid royim amagishim echesroinis. When you're jealous, you always notice the other person's faults. You always look at things in a negative way. You see that person's chesroinus. And you could, God forbid, cause you to do all kinds of terrible aveiras. That's what Bechlal, the whole idea of speaking negatively, which we were raised in a certain, I've spoken about it probably every year, and we're all nichshul in this, and myself, all of us, most of us are nichshul in this inyan. To speak about goyim a certain way, to use less than human terms when talking about human beings. I'm not talking about rishoyim. You want to say something about bin Laden, yamach shomei v'zichro, you could use all your favorite lashonis of bittul. You want to speak about hamanei rasha, you can clap. You want to speak about hitli yamach shomei, all the lashonis of bittul that you could think of. But then you have people that they have to speak about the goita and about the shiksa and the shiksa this and the goita that. To speak about human beings, stam with lashonis of bittul. I'm talking about nice people, good people. We all are nichshul in this inyan. We got that a little bit from the old generation. You have to realize that the old generation's experience with non-Jews is different from ours to a large extent. And therefore we can't judge European Jews for speaking a certain way, that in their vocabulary, in their way of living, we could be melamed zchus. But for us, it mostly just comes from a nastiness and smallness. And to speak about goyim like they're not human beings, stop to talk about people. This one's my shiksa this, my shiksa that, like it's something like that you own, like an object. And all these lashonis of bittul, the Chofetz Chaim didn't look at people that way. The children, that they hear it in class sometimes, they hear it from teachers, a rebbeim, to speak about the goyim a certain way, or the goy, or the shiks, or the sheikhs, to make it us versus them, this whole mentality, which is not coming from me, this taivis. What do you have to say those things? Why do you have to talk about people that way? Someone, people that their whole lives depend upon the shiksa, but yet they could use such lashonis of bittul. There's also a way just to make themselves more choshev and to talk a certain way of bittul. It's not becoming for a Jewish person to use lashonis like this. But most people would make fun of me saying such a thing. But the emes is that tzaddikim didn't need to talk their way. Not about rishoyim, about rishoyim. About they talk about rishoyim, we understand. Aru haman and baruch Mordechai. But when someone says, I said, why do you have to say such strong lashonis to put down people, whether the person did something to you? So be a nice person, whether they did something to you, have some. So it's always, like they look at you like you're crazy, what's the matter, like you're not frum. If you'd really be frum, you'd call the person a shaygetz, a goy, a shiksa, and a veiler. These are all the lashonis that are dark and unbecoming and ugly for a fine person to use. A person that has a lashon nekiyah doesn't have to speak in such a way. We're all nichshul in this. mostly initial nizanyanim, and it's not becoming a Jew to talk in such a way. Human beings created with Tzelem Elokim, and to speak negatively about people who are good people. Of course, our parents and grandparents, you know, their understanding was that everybody's an anti-Semite, and that entitles you to say certain things. And it may be, in their way of looking at things, there's a lot of truth to that and where they come from, but we don't have to apply that to our lives, to talk in such a way. And this inyan is not kedai to be marach, because it's hard to hear. V'yadum et tzadikim, just a few more minutes. V'yadum et tzadikim, and we've learned from the tzadikim, shekol mashu mashu shenizkev ez Hashem Yisbarach leidu lahakil lahagish ma'akini yoch lasis. So why are we talking about all of these things? Because the tzaddikim have taught us that the more you discuss, the more you realize, the more you begin to recognize and sense and feel what kinnah can cause, what kinnah, the effect that kinnah has upon you. And the more we realize how many of the things that we do originate from feelings of kinnah, that's a very great Pesach, an opening. It's an entrance, it's a Pesach into doing the wonderful work that's so beloved by Hashem, which is what the thing that the Baruch Shalom loves most about Jews is that we work on ourselves, that we try to be Mesakan Amidus. But you have to first realize, you have to recognize, you have to acknowledge that these are problems, and these problems cause certain things in our lives. The more you recognize those midas, the problems, zemevi tfila muke, you begin to daven more that you should have a slach to be mesakin this mida. Zemevi kolechet sheyimtsa ha'etzes eich lavad alze, and it helps you to think of etzes, to look for etzes, how to work on this. Kiedu mitzadikim. See, this, a lot of times I found that. So they'll have Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of groups that have discussions about Shemir Salashim and campaigns and learning groups and small groups and big groups. But the problem, one of the main problems that I believe, and the main problems is that you could teach all about Shemir Salashim and the person knows Hilchos Lashon Hara. But if you're not working on Kinna and Sinna and Kavod and Kaas, so then you'll always have a way to, it'll always happen again. In other words, you can learn all the Chabad Chaim in the world. You'll always justify, rationalize, cover up, or say, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't have said that. But these groups, to a large extent, are not getting to the bottom of the problem. Lashon Hara Mechilas is already when the poison's coming out. But what has brought this, what has released, or what has caused this poisonous Lashon to come from me, is of course are those midas that I never worked on. And a lot of the classes or a lot of the discussions about Shemir Salashim saying you can't say this, you can say this, but they're not dealing with, well, how do I not feel like saying that? I know I shouldn't say that, but I sure feel like saying it. And in a weak moment, if the Chofetz Chaim is, not in front of your eyes, you'll say it. Because the feeling hasn't been addressed. And the shirish of the midah is not being addressed. And I mean, Mel, you're looking for ages, how can I speak in a nicer way? But if you're filled with kinnah, so then it's a losing battle. If you're filled with kinnah, so even though you know that it's against halach, it's so hard, so you won't say it pros to lashon hara. So you'll say like one of the things with the three dots. But it's lashon hara and how you look and what you say. If you're not working on the midas, so then the shmir saloshin is not going to work. So I'm always astounded by this, that vayta nocha campaign, and they're all good. I'm not saying, God forbid, that they're not good, but you have to get to the bottom of things. So what he's saying is, that when you makir the midas like tovus, instead of getting depressed and upset, so then the ikkar is to realize that the Baruch Shalom loves any avayda, any effort that we make in tikkun amidas is the most choshev thing in the world. Avinu shebashamayim meila kol yochid. Not only that, once you admit it, once you're honest, once you daven for help in this area, the Baruch Shalom mamish shines a light to each and every one of us and tells us ways, drachim v'yifanim, different means, different ways, sheshayochim lai, that you can what? That you can work on it, that you could fix it. And yilasakim yidais, if you have siyata d'shmaya, that the Baruch Shalom helps you to fix this. V'tachlis ha'shleim es mamish, v'chol mashu mashu shemakirim v'yoydim ma'amidah shalonu oysulim lonu, v'b'ikim ma'amidah yicholus lasus lonu, kamehim yicholim lahachir v'yisonu mamish. When you admit, when you realize the more you understand how the midas was destroying you. It's not that you, it's not finally it came out as a bad word, but the midas is what's causing you to want to say those things. And the churban that midah has made in your life and can make in your life and your loved ones' lives. Zegoyim, once you know that and you think about it, Zegoyim kshemagisha midah loy toiv, that when you feel this, you recognize this, then mishtadlam v'shoimim toiv ma'oid, you try very hard, umavakshem, and you daven to Hashem, mischanam harber levinu shebashamayim, to Rabbeinu Shloilam, shamidah hazeh lo yarkev v'yachrev, please don't allow this midah to destroy me, to destroy others. This midah, this terrible midah, can cause me to say Takad Lashon on Mechilas, can cause me to hurt people's feelings, can cause me to destroy lives. A person who knows who the enemy is and knows that the enemy is waiting. Then the enemy is waiting to attack. You're careful, you're on guard. If you don't know that, so then for sure the word of Lashon Hara comes out. What's the Shaila? For sure you're going to say something and you'll insult a person and you won't even know that you insulted the person. And you say, no, I don't remember that from the Lashon Hara class. No, what I said was okay. And it could be, it wasn't Lashon Hara. But in a very subtle way, it was the three dots, it was something else, but it's a chur. If you don't know it, you don't live with this. Hashem Yirachem can cause mamish a churban, a complete and total churban. Should I take another 5 minutes? Another 5 minutes, all right? I really don't want anybody to feel bad if you have to leave. Another few minutes. It wouldn't be right of me talking about good midas to feel bad, you understand that? Kamaisha Kinna, I'm just kidding, really, just another few minutes, but if it's late, it's hard, so you should leave. Kamaisha Kinna, Yochel Ahavi, Kol Minim Achshavis Vahargoshis Vidiburim, Kamaichain Kol Midara. Just like Kinna, jealousy can cause different thoughts and feelings and words that are negative and destructive, so it is with all the midas that are negative. Yochel Ahavi Harbi Harbi Machshavis V'Dibur Mamaisim Shabli Avayde La Yoidim Klalu Klal Shaboy Mehem. You'll never know that this comes from gaiva, from conceit. Why did you say this? Why did you think this? Why do you feel this way? It's coming from gaiva. And because of your gaiva, you're not prepared to admit that you have gaiva. You're not willing to admit that there's something wrong. V'Naske B'Ktzar Mamish. For instance, very often a person is angry, or a person has a kapeda, he's makbid, he's upset with another person, that the other person said this, or did this, or whatever, or thought this. We also know what other people are thinking, that's also an amazing thing. It's also an amazing thing that every Jew is able to read minds. You're able to know what the person's thinking about you. So we have a kapeda, we're angry, we're makbid. Chadayma, upamim zabaf, and nisht esn. And he says an interesting thing here. From the Shtesen Genug, or the Shlofen Genug, he says a very, very big yisoid. Sometimes the reason that you're angry, or that you're acting with a kepeda, is because you didn't have enough to eat, and you didn't sleep enough. You're tired. You're just in a lousy state of being. Listen to what he explains. Kiddi'isim et tzaddikim. And this is discussed by the tzaddikim, HaRav Mendel Rimanover, Rabbanei Yisoschi, Rabbi Shlomka's Villa. And because what? You didn't get enough sleep. You're on edge. So what happens is, things are annoying you. You're very easily agitated. You say something that you wouldn't normally say. Chadayim, Babai is at home, or Bismedrish, or in Shul, Venidmal Yehudi, Shazabom, Mimidah Sa'emesh, Shekoyev, like Yeshiraya Avla. And you think that the reason that you're angry is because something terrible, that person did something terrible. Something terrible happened. In other words, you react in a way that's angry, and you have a kapdonis over something that somebody said or did, and you convince yourself that that person has done something terrible or wrong. And that's why I'm angry. And the real thing is that you need a good night's sleep. Take it easy. You're just high strung. Or you say, you know, the reason that I was screaming so much at my kid, because that's chinuch. I had to be mechanech my child. The child did something terrible, and that's part of the chinuch. I had to say, and it was important that the child sees that I'm very, very upset. That's not why you were very upset. You're very upset because something happened at work, and you're annoyed. You're annoyed. You know, you lost a deal. Your boss ignored you. Whatever it was, you're not feeling good. So now this is supposed to be chinuch. That's not chinuch, and you talk yourself into it. That the kid messed up. The kid botched up, and I have to mechanech him. And after you're talking, you just didn't sleep that night. That's all. There's something that's bugging you. And it's not even what the person did that deserves such a reaction. Upamim is gaber midas atzvus, or sadness, or depression. That's a whole different inyan, a whole different depression. What a sugya. The inyan of being depressed. The ganze Welt is schwarz. And when you're depressed, the whole world is black. The whole world is black. And somebody can say to you, "Hi, how you doing?" You say, "You have a lot of nerve to ask me that. I'm just asking how you doing." Don't. I know exactly what you. And the person, Pasha, was saying good morning, you know. But you're depressed. So the ganze Welt is schwarz. So everything is dark. So anybody says something to you, so there's kpeda, there's kaas, there's anger, there's this, there's that, and you think that the person taka meant this, the person meant something to hurt me. No, it's just because everything you're looking at turns black, because you're depressed. So everything you see is dark, and everybody is hurting you. There's a conspiracy. Everybody's against you. The whole world is against you, and it has nothing to do with that person. There's stuff that's you know you're annoyed about other things. Something's hurting you. Something's upsetting you. It's bechlal not negate to that person. And the way that you're reading that person is total sheker. It's totally false. It's not. It's so unfair. Vaydezeba kol mini hagoshes v'diburim, all kinds of feelings and all kinds of words. Vayehudi any yedesh is above me atzus bechlal, and you don't even realize it's because you're depressed, you're upset, you're annoyed about something, and has nothing to do with the mitzvahs, with the reality of what that person is doing right now, and yet you're going to say things. This is especially with children, that you'll give a kid a mishabeach, you'll handle a kid a certain way. It's nothing to do bechlal with what the kid said, or bechlal with the child's chinuch, and you have a kas, you have a kpeda. There's nothing to do with the kid at all. Upamim is gaber midas atzlus. Sometimes one's so depressed, so sad. Amachta avek yenim. The meila daf is echnisht. How do you pronounce that? Unstregen. So in the footnote, humavatlus chashivusu shla sheni v'chashivus avadosai. Mimeila hu leitzarech les amitz kolkach. Sometimes it's an amazing thing. Sometimes it's not just atzlus. I meant midas haatzlus, laziness. I made a mistake. I said atzlus. Atzlus, laziness. Now, what is laziness over here? Why would laziness have an effect upon how you act towards somebody, or what you say to someone, or how you feel about someone? It's pashut. So he explains that you don't feel like working hard on something. A person who's naturally lazy, it would be much easier for him to touch something up in a very shallow, simplistic way, and to be angry, to be upset. Being angry, upset takes very little effort, especially if you have a bad temper. In other words, all of us grow up reacting a certain way to things. Not to react that way would require effort. Effort is not something which we all appreciate, which we're fond of putting into things. So therefore, the easiest thing is to just react the way that I've always reacted. And when someone asks you, why do you act that way, you say, leave me alone, I always do that. That's how I always react. So why? What does that mean, I always react that way? The Teretz is, it's much harder to go against the current. It's much harder to go against my nature. So there's something in us that's lazy, and I might be angry, or I might be upset about something, I might react in a certain way, or say something that has nothing to do with what that person's done. It's just because I'm too lazy to overcome my own natural response that I've always been responding with throughout my entire life. So instead of being misames, instead of making that effort, it's much easier for me to just let it go and say the thing, do the thing, act this way, be angry, whatever, than just to let it go. Because it would require a whole overhaul, and it would require a whole avoid and a malach for me not to react that way. So look, even laziness, this midah of atzlus, of atzlonus, which is such a big sugya also, it can lead to all kinds of kpedas and kaas, because I don't feel like working on this. I don't feel like working on this. Upamim is gaber in the Hebrew on the back on top. Upamim is gaber midas agayva just the end of this paragraph. Midas agayva sheroitzel ahargis shehua atzibur shloi hem yoyse toy ma'achem upon mizgaba midas anakim. So sometimes it's gaiva. Gaiva means that I want to feel more chashuv than that person. I want to feel that my shul is more chashuv, my community, my place of work is more chashuv. Hem yoyse toy ma'achem upon mizgaba midas anakim of anathir. Sometimes the midas of nakama, of wanting to take revenge. You know, gazuk, avart, this person said this about me, now I'm going to get him back. So what you're saying now has nothing to do with what that person has done. You're angry and you're makbid and you're saying something that's negative and has nothing to do with anything the person has done. It might be something the person did last year or 20 years ago, because when it comes to things that anytime anybody says something or did something against us, even a person who normally forgets things and can't remember yesterday's parasha, but if somebody said something bad about you 25, 30 years ago, you have a chesed. There's also a pella. We all have such unbelievable memories when it comes to negative things. So right now, the way that you're acting with kas, or that you're saying something negative, or you're angry about what this person is doing, it might have nothing to do with what the person is doing now. It could be something that she said or he said 25, 30 years ago, and you have a cheshbon, and this is the time to take revenge. This is my first opportunity. Now you're going to get it. What did I do? I just said good morning. No. Now you're going to get it. I have an old score to settle. And you don't even know that. You'd say, if anybody would say, you'd say, what? I know what you're talking about. 25 years ago? Nah. What do you think? I'm such an idiot that it bothers me what happened 25 years ago? The terrorist is here? Absolutely. Oh, you are such an idiot. Of course it bothers you. And your payday now has nothing to do with what that person's saying. Or what that person did. It's an ultimizer. Chadayim, I feel of Nehabi's man, even though it was something a long time ago. Or you think that this is a person, you know that this person doesn't hold from you. It's an ultimizer. It doesn't hold from me. Never held from me. This from school, together when we were in sixth grade, she didn't hold for me, didn't hold for me. I'm a derech shalom, it doesn't hold for my derech, for my way. V'chadayim, page kufa in Zion, just to finish this paragraph, is a koyev, Mike, it hurts you very, very deeply. V'ha'odem lo yedeya, and the person might not even know, I feel this is a koyev lo, that what's hurting him, where it's really coming from. These are huge and yonim, each midah. And any effort that you and I make to try to understand, to try to be honest, to try to recognize these problems, and you try to make yourself better, to purify yourself. The Rosh Hashanah has promised that it'll help you to overcome, to deal with these things, to become each day better and better, to be more and more mitzliach. Okay, we'll have one more share.